Hey, good evening, everyone. Warm welcome to all of you. It's good to have you join us for a prayer meeting. So let's commit this time to God in prayer before we listen to the word. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your presence in our lives. We want to thank you that you are a God who is generous, a God who blesses us, a God who listens, Lord, and a God who is close to us. And we pray that in this time, our eyes will be open, our hearts will be open to your goodness. Speak to our hearts. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to anoint this moment. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have been doing Ephesians chapter 1, and I've been speaking about knowing our spiritual blessings. This is how Paul begins his epistle to the church in Ephesians. And it is so important for us Christians to know that how we are blessed and have a very clear definition of what that blessing is all about. If we have a wrong understanding of blessing, it may take us off course and it may leave us dry and stranded. So we will just look at the sermon text first. Okay, so it's taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 23. This is what follows after Paul lists down the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Okay, so he says, you know, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that your eyes, the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Okay, so there's a lot packed in this passage. It's all ending up that that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit of all the blessings that he has given us, has promised us. And then it ends with Paul's prayer, and the prayer ends with a very powerful proclamation of the greatness of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. So there are a few things that we have to keep in mind as we reflect such a passage. We must bear in mind when you read the Bible, the whole epistle is one epistle. Therefore, all the ideas move from throughout the entire epistle, and the ideas are developed throughout the epistle. So first of all, in the early verses, he just speaks about spiritual blessing as we being chosen to be holy and blameless. So it's being cleansed and brought into the fellowship with God, okay? And that's an idea of salvation. So this is the blessing that comes. It's adoption. So this bringing in process is likened to adoption, that we are made the sons and daughters of our Father. And then there's redemption and forgiveness of sins and through the grace lavished on us. So all our sins have been forgiven and our sins and our have been paid for, okay? So he made known to us the mystery of his will, and therefore we know God's will. That's the blessing, and we participate in that will because we know it, because we are part of that story of God uniting all things under Christ. This is a blessing of salvation, okay? And we are sealed with the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing all things. So these are our blessings. And that's why it's important to ask, how does these blessings affect you? How does it impact your life? You know, these are spiritual in nature. Can they be compared to worldly blessings? And what does it mean to have these blessings shape your thinking? Okay. So when Paul writes this, there is several themes that he weaves into his writing. And there's so much packed in here. So as he's writing about the blessings, he's also making it clear to us that this is the sovereign will of God. You know, and God is exerting his will, you know, his sovereignty in all things to work out this blessing. So what it means is God is 100% invested into blessing his people. Okay. So you find that in between the verses, you get terms like this. God chose us from before the creation of the world. So he already saw these things. Then words like predestined us for adoption. He already planned, you know, to make us his children and the mystery of his will. So it's what's in his heart. It's not just by chance. This is him. His thoughts for us, his plans for us, what he has destined us for. Okay. And then is to bring unity to all things in heaven on earth under Christ. And that's God's future kingdom, the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom of God, and how it will end, that all evil and everything that opposes Christ will be judged and destroyed. Okay. And then again, he says in verse 11, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So when you read a sentence like this, it's like very clear. This is God working out everything to conform to the purpose of his will. So there's nothing here by chance, okay? And what we learn out of this, what we see, is that no matter what you are experiencing in your present day, no matter what the challenges is, in fact, Paul was in prison and the church was being persecuted, and all of us are in different situations. We have different worries and concerns and challenges within our life. But what he says is that in spite of all these things, in spite of the way things seem and the way the world is going, God is in control. God is sovereign. God is putting the pieces in its places. God is bending everything to conform to his will. And that is the assurance that this blessing that God has purpose in our life, God will bring to pass, okay? Because he is sovereign. So the blessings is not left to chance or anything. It is God who is bringing about this blessing into each of our life. So we have to rest in that assurance that, you know, all this lies in the sovereignty of God, God's ability to do it, rather than our ability, okay, to procure those blessings. So whatever you're facing, whatever has been happening, you have to keep in mind that, you know, even in those challenges, even in those difficulties, and even in your failures, you must kind of understand the greater story, the greater narrative of God pulling you into that place of blessing. Okay, so this is what God is doing. And then another theme that is weaved when Paul speaks about spiritual blessing, okay, a very important idea is the goodness of God. Okay, so he described our God as a God who blesses, okay, the God who blessed us, okay. And so he says he chose us in love. So the motivation is here. He wants to bless his people because he loves his people. And then God is gracious and generous. Okay. So he gives grace generously. Okay. And he lavishes it upon his people, upon those who would believe in Jesus Christ. So that's another central theme. Okay. So the first one is God's sovereignty. You know, the blessings are real because God is at work. And then the blessings are real is because God is good. Okay? And that's the thing. We have to keep our eyes on the blesser, on who he is. And that is the assurance of the blessing. It's our experience with God himself that gives us an idea and understanding of how the blessings operate and work within our lives. So this is God's activity, all right? Okay. And then the third thing that has happened in, when Paul speaks, of course, he references the all three persons of the Trinity. We have the Father who had worked through the Son, and then there's the seal of the Holy Spirit. But what's important here is the centrality of the work of Jesus Christ, which leads to him being the one in which all God's people are gathered beneath. Okay, so all this happens because we believe in Jesus Christ, as we have seen in John Gospel. When you believe in him, you know, you are born again and you have become a child of God, okay, and you are saved. So he makes it very clear that in Christ, we are chosen. In Christ, there is adoption. You know, in Christ, there is redemption and forgiveness. Okay. And all this is freely given to us through the one he loves, which is Jesus Christ. Okay. You know, and which he purposed. Okay. Which is Christ. Okay. And he, in Christ, all things are united. And in Christ is our hope, because he has accomplished all things through his death and his resurrection. Okay, so you can see in the picture a whole bunch of things, you know, that shapes our identity because we are in Christ. So what the third guarantee is, you know, because we are in Christ, we are in all of these blessings. Okay, because we have him and we dwell by faith in him, God has showered these blessings upon his people. So the guarantee is not our works, but the work of Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's exerting that point and he's making people look at a whole bunch of things. And you can see the similar idea when Jesus speaks. He says, it's my Father who does all these things and I do it. And Jesus represents the goodness of the Father, which has been purposed and released through his life. Okay, so this is what we have to think about very carefully. You know, the fact that if we believe there is a God, you know, then God is in control of all things and we must rest in that hope. And God does not leave us in darkness. He has shown us how he activates his control. So the motivation of his control is love. Okay, he cares, his goodness. You know, he wants to save people. He wants to restore relationships. So we understand that this power is governed by God's love. You know, God is love. Okay. And that's the other assurance of our blessing. And then finally, okay, well, you know, God demonstrates his love by doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, you know, by sending his own son. And in him, we have all the spiritual blessings. Okay. So when it comes to that, you know, the fact that when we understand the nature of the spiritual blessings, when we dig deep into these blessings, you know, this spiritual person understands and experiences the joy of salvation, adoption, forgiveness, calling, the future hope of a new creation under Christ. Okay. So we have heard, you know, sharings on the fruit of the Spirit. This is by the Spirit, not by human endeavor, not by our own strength that we develop the fruit, but rather it comes from the Holy Spirit. And the reason for these characteristics in the heart of the people is simply because those who grow in understanding of their spiritual blessing develop such fruit, okay? So when you step into, you know, the idea that you are saved, you are adopted, you are forgiven, you are called, and your future is to be part of God's great kingdom for all eternity, where you live under his care, where you enjoy his presence, praising and worshiping him, you know, where there's no more tears and evil and sorrow and so forth. And knowing this leads to the growth of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. What's in the heart of the Father flows through us in the Spirit. Okay, so this is the thing that we have to understand. So the role of the Holy Spirit is a deposit. So in here in today's text, Paul writes, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Okay. And this word is used again of the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Okay, so it's a portion, it's a down payment, it's a deposit. Okay, and it means what it means. In fact, in the Greek meaning of it is, you know, the word is arabon. Okay, so it's from a word used by Phoenician traders. Okay, so in a bargain between two parties, a part payment was made, which was a guarantee or assurance that full payment would be made. Okay, so it's a guarantee that I have put the deposit down. You know, it's not like something you can take back like today's transactions, but rather it's just a full-on pledge and guarantee that if I'm paying $10 now, then the rest is coming. Okay, so we must understand there's always an element of already but not yet. That something has been given, okay? But what Paul invites us to do is to consider the nature of the deposit, okay? There's the blessings, all right? And the blessings is made real to us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us because we are God's children. The Holy Spirit is in us because we are forgiven and accepted. The Holy Spirit is in us because we have been anointed and set apart to do God's work. Okay, the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit transforms us and makes us more like Jesus. Okay, so we are God's treasured possession, and God has already put the deposit within us to show that we are fully his. And a time will come when we will have all the constraints removed, where we can devote ourselves and be find perfection in him. Okay, so that's the whole thing about the Holy Spirit, and that's how we are invited to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit when we pray and when we grow in our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, when we read the word, when we dwell in the things of God, we begin to experience heaven at work in our hearts. We see God's perfection taking hold of our hearts. We see the love of God being poured out in our hearts. Okay. So it's not something that is vague and far away. It is real to us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's God's seal on us, you know, that we belong to him. And this is such a precious seal and such a valuable deposit. You know, God says to you, as a guarantee that you will be mine, I will make your heart my temple. I will dwell in you, you know, with you, transforming you, okay? So you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are hidden in Christ, okay? And you are receiving, you know, the goodwill and blessings of the Father. This is how it is given to each one of us, okay? So Paul goes on to say, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So what's interesting is Paul is excited about these two things found in the lives of people, okay, which is clearly speaks of the presence and the operation of God's blessing and God's Spirit in their life. The first is faith in Jesus. Okay, so, and that's all that is needed to access his blessings. Faith in Jesus. Believing in Jesus Christ. And growing in that faith. And standing on that faith. Understanding how that faith changes. So Paul is so excited. Because you believe in Jesus, I'm so happy. Because through faith, all this is yours. Okay? And I can see all this is yours because there's a growing love for God's people. You begin to see the future picture of heaven where people come together from different walks of life, where people are forgiven and restored, and people start caring for one another in a meaningful way. Okay? And Paul says, for that very reason, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. So that's the thing. Where faith is and where love is, you know, hope will be our anchor. We will be strengthened, you know, in the fact that the deficit is real, and the hope of having all that God has promised us, the future kingdom, the reality of that blessing, of the fullness, of the rewards of the kingdom, will be the hope that anchors us, and that we will understand whatever suffering we go through and whatever challenges we go through in our life is temporal, but what God offers us is eternal, okay? So it's wrapped up in that thing, and that's what we must ask ourselves. You know, when you feel particularly challenged and when you feel that you are not blessed and everything is going upside down, then it's time to address the faith question and the time to dwell, you know, in the love of Christ and allow that to fill your hearts. Okay, so we will discuss further why sometimes this goes wrong. Okay, so what we must be clear is, you know, what we pursue as a blessing actually shapes our life. Okay, so if you want an I-centered Christianity, and the thing is this, people do a lot of the right things for the wrong reasons. So if you serve God so you can get what you want, you know, so that you can have this particular possession or talent or recognition, you know, or relationship, whatever it is, everything is, all this is just saying, God, I serve you, and all this, if I get, is the blessing, and this blessing will make me happy. Then you understand that you are way off track from what the Bible says is a spiritual blessing. Okay, so what you are doing is, you are serving in hope that one day you'll get something to make you happy. All right? And that's not how we can serve, okay? You know, serving comes out of being happy in the Lord, overflowing with the joy of God, okay? But if we do something to get something, then it's a very worldly Christianity, okay? It's a very worldly understanding of having something else rather than Christ as the blessing. So God is a means to the blessing. He's placed in a much higher, I mean, lower place compared to the blessings, okay? So we seek the blessing and not the blesser. And many people say this as again and again, you know, as a cliche, you know, make sure you seek the blesser and not the blessing. But you have to sit down and really think about how that applies in our lives, okay? Okay. So what are considered the blessings in the above forms of Christianity? So what is the blessing in the I-centered Christianity, in worldly Christianity? And you can see for ministers, from people, it's, again, a very worldly understanding of success. It's numbers, it's talents, it's giftings, it's prominence, and so forth. And people are craving and saying, you know, if I had all these things, people will love me, people will care for me, you know, people will recognize me, I won't be lonely, I won't be rejected, I won't be, you know, and the list goes on. Okay, and then, you know, it's a constant hunt and search for that one thing that will fill their life. And when people, Christians, live like that, they eventually get tired and they start to, you know, just pursue the world openly, you know, because it's just too difficult always having that kind of emptiness within their lives. Okay. And you find that, you know, when you understand spiritual blessings, then you have the joy of knowing God's will. You have the joy of knowing God's goodness. You have the joy of seeing the new creation that is taking place in Christ because of the seal of the Holy Spirit. So different things makes you happy. You know, you see hope, you see relationships in a special way. You take the trouble to talk to people, not because you have to and must. I mean, there are times that some discipline is needed, but in you engage and you take on that discipline because something in your heart tells you that this is good, this is wonderful, this is how it should be. You believe that heaven is now here with us, you know, working through our lives. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And these are the joys and the hopes that you continue to hold on. And you won't give up hope easily because you have already tasted and you possess a deposit of that blessing in your life. So even though people reject you and things don't work out the way you do, that deposit remains, and that keeps you pegged, you know, focused on the fact that God will bless. God will have his way because he is having his way in my life. Okay, so that's how it turns out. Okay, so it's important that we know the blessings we possess, okay? And we should experience the fullness of our blessing. That is the spiritual understanding. And to let your life be shaped by that blessing, you know, God's calling shaping your life, God's love shaping your life, you know, God's goodness in Christ shaping your life, God's generosity shaping your life. I mean, these should be the way Christianity grows. So you experience this in the midst of hardships, in all things. And that's what Paul is praying for the church. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay? Wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. It's hope. It's not useless and meaningless endeavors. It's hope. Okay. And the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So it's an inheritance, you know, God's inheritance, we being possessed by him and his incomparably great power for us who believe, you know, that there is so much power at work in our lives because of the presence of God's blessing. Okay, so it's a very sad thing when Christians, you know, go walk around life believing that they are not blessed. Okay. Thinking that, you know, they must do something to be blessed rather than just believe in Jesus Christ. That they constantly compare themselves with other people and said, if I had that ministry, then I will feel that I am blessed. You know, if I had this thing, you know, I will feel I am blessed. You know, if I'm doing these things, if I was smarter, if I was better looking, if I was more accepted by people and liked by people, I will be blessed. Okay. And that's the sad part. That is totally contradictory to what the scripture is saying. It's saying if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. And so if we believe that, you know, the blessings are very worldly, and then we limit the scope of their blessing. So if you look at a person who is poor or a person who doesn't have a good career, then you can look at them and say, oh, you're not blessed, you know, because you have a lousy job and you don't have, you'll never have the potential to buy this, the good things in life and own the best things in life. That is, and you can just say to them, okay. And sadly, a lot of Christians believe that kind of ideas, okay. You know, subtly, those ideas are prevalent, you know, are shaping their view. So they believe some people are stuck here, some people are stuck here, some people are up there and they are blessed and they are better, you know. But what Paul is saying, you know, there is no standards here. We are united. Everyone is blessed. Okay, everyone is called, and that's what we are learning when we are talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, every person is blessed. Okay, every person belongs to God. You know, every person is called and predestined and chosen by God, and God has lavished his kindness because God is not looking at how things are here today. You know, he's looking at how things will be, you know, when the fullness of his kingdom appears. That's what Jesus is saying. That's when everything will be turned upside down and we will truly see the reality of God's blessings in our life. Okay. So this is something that I invite you to put much thought in. And if you look at the context of the passage, you know, it's kind of amazing. Paul was clearly speaking about this spiritual blessing. You know, he himself was in prison. Okay, and being in prison during, I mean, even nowadays you go to prison, it's a horrible thing. And being in prison during this time is just, you know, very difficult. And he could be saying, oh, look, God has allowed all these things to happen to me. I'm not blessed. Okay, and the church is persecuted. You know, and then he has to deal with forces that is coming from within church to divide and lead others astray. And then there's a spiritual battle, you know, that is going on, and he's asking the people to stand firm. So he can easily look at all the things and say, oh, it's so difficult. It's so, you know, so hard. None of us are blessed. We just have to strive and strive and strive. But Paul is saying, know your blessing. Once you know it, then he says, stand on your blessings, you know, remain on your blessings. Okay, and your blessings hinges on the person of Christ, you know, his supremacy, his sufficiency. That means he is in control of all things. No higher name, no dominion, no powers in the present, in the future can ever be more powerful than the name of Jesus. The sufficiency of Christ means Christ is enough. Okay? Christ is enough for us. We don't need anything more. Okay? And then what Paul invites us to see, you know, the heavenly hope, the church, as much as it's imperfect and broken and difficult at times, but it is a beautiful church in the eyes of God, in the heart of God, and He's shaping all things towards it. And that's our hope. And then we see the Spirit-filled saints, okay, you know, all these people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, standing in the presence of God. And we see this supernatural family, and this is our blessing, the many brothers and sisters we possess because of what Christ has done. The oneness, you know, the changing and the restoring of all humanity. So it's never selfish, not about I getting something, but everyone finding joy and hope and the whole world being restored in the sight of God. Okay, so Paul is pushing a church that is facing so much difficulty, reminding them that amidst of what you see naturally in the spiritual realm, there is a greater work. And God has won, and God is triumphant, and God is above and in control. And he's telling, don't let all these temporal things, don't let the defeated forces of darkness rob you of these blessings. Don't let worldliness blind you of the blessings that come from Jesus Christ. So church, we must dig in, we must stand firm, and we must have, you know, find that place. And that's why, as I spoke last Sunday, I would urge you to pray and spend time before God, you know, as Paul's prayer, so that you will know God. And when you know God, you will truly know your blessings. You will truly dig into your blessings, and you will experience the heavenly joy and hope that no earthly force can overcome. Okay? This is what God has given us. All right? So we're going to pray. And later, Hannah is going to lead us in time of prayer. But for now, as I close in prayer, I do want you to reflect on this. I think in the church, you know, and everywhere, Christians are fighting this battle. And because we have a wrong definition of blessings, or we are pursuing the wrong things as blessings, we are all in a place where we are sad, we are broken, we are defeated. We always feel, I cannot do this, I'm not as good as the other person, I don't have this, I don't have that, everything. Okay, and if you look at this passage, all those things are wrong. Okay, because God has given, God has lavished, God has purpose, God loves us. And we have this not because of what we do, but because of the person Christ. And so we are invited to trust in Him to work out these things in our hearts. And that work has begun with the coming of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. All right. So let's pray. Okay. Let's pray that we will have a vision of a spiritual blessing, that we will share the joys of the spiritual blessing, that our ministries will be shaped by the spiritual blessings, that our speech, our actions, our decisions, you know, will reflect an overflow of these blessings in our life. Okay, let us pray. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Dear Lord, we want to praise you. We want to thank you that we have every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ, dear Lord. And God, we pray that you open our eyes to spiritual realities. Dear God, sometimes we are so worldly that we have sunk down to a place we cannot see anything beyond this world and cannot understand anything beyond what this world teaches us and tells us. Dear Lord, it's time to be spiritual people, to be mindful of where our treasures, our hope lies, dear Lord. It's for us to be mindful of the kingdom we belong to, Lord Father. Dear Lord, we are exiles, Lord. This is not our home. This is not our place, Lord. We are on a journey, on a pilgrimage, looking, Lord, for that city that is built by your hands, Lord. We are eternal beings, Lord. And so we cannot camp and build our hopes in something that is passing away. But our hope is in eternity, that one, that day will come when we are resurrected with our new bodies, living under your good kingdom, receiving every good thing. And that's what we strive and we hope and we invest into, dear God. So let's pray, Lord Father, that in a time like this, where there's so much temptation to remain worldly, where Satan cheats us and dupes us into being so caught up with ourselves and our worldly experience that we feel so far away from you. We pray for a breakthrough. We pray for healing. We pray for our eyes, Lord, to be open. We pray for spiritual sensitivity. We pray to grow and understand, Lord, you, Lord Father, and know you, Lord Father, and have that assurance, Lord, you are true and faithful and you will never change, dear God. We pray that we will truly know the significance of forgiveness, the cross, and all those things, and grow, Lord, and see how the Spirit shapes our life through these truths, Lord, and how we are filled with power and grace, and how you speak to us, Lord, through these wonderful blessings. Dear Lord, we pray that even this church also will share these blessings to a lost world, to those who need you, Lord Father, that those who are lost without you, with are hopeless. Mm-hmm. And I pray, Lord Father, that as we grow in this blessing, there will be a revival, Lord, in this church. There will be an overflow. There will be evangelism. There will be transformation, Lord, for the glory of your name. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you that we can come together in your name. We pray, Lord Father, you lead us in your grace, in your truth, Lord Father. We just come before you, Lord, for this nation. We ask, Lord, for your blessings upon this nation. We pray for unity. And most of all, we pray for those to be open, Lord, for your gospel to be proclaimed to all people. Dear Lord, there are many who are lost, who are blinded, who are suffering, Lord. And we pray that you would stir the Church of Malaysia, every church, Lord, to respond to the many needs, to the calling, dear Lord. We look to you, Lord Father, that you would unite us in your name, Lord. We thank you. Father, we just want to thank you that we are gathered here in your name. We want to thank you that we can come before you in such a way. You've been kind to us, dear Lord, and you've been good to us. We pray, Lord, that even as we are preparing and we are thinking about personal devotion, as we are recovering from the pandemic, the lockdowns, as we are experiencing different challenges. Dear Lord, let us be assured we have you. You remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your love never changed, Lord Father. So lead us and guide us in your truth. Dear Lord, also I want to lift up Brother Harold into your hands. I pray that there'll be healing, that as he goes for his scans tomorrow, that you would just heal him and remove the cancer, that you would strengthen him in a time like this, that you'll be with the entire family, Lord Father. We thank you, Father, as everyone is gathered in your name. Lead us in your truth and your grace, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.